If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 16. We are again going to take a break from our study in the book of James. We are sort of doing a verse-by-verse study, so naturally it would take some time to get through the entire book. I'm not sure it was supposed to take us this long. We are taking our time to get through it, that's for sure. And we are also taking quite a few breaks from it, that's also for sure. Here we are at another one. We will get through James, we will. We'll finish one day, I think. I'm pretty sure. Just not anytime real soon. For the next few weeks, we're going to take time to consider again. We have before, we do it now again. Afresh and anew, we consider again the person, the work, the power, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. From Resurrection Sunday to Pentecost Sunday, the calendar really provides a great opportunity to spend time considering the Holy Spirit. Those are really sort of the pinnacle points, if you will, in the transition from the Gospels and the story of Jesus and his life and on then to Acts and the rest of the New Testament and really what becomes then the story of the New Testament church, if you will. We conclude the Gospels with Jesus crucified, then on the third day, his resurrection from the grave, his tomb empty, forever empty, death defeated once and for all, forever defeated, Satan and sin even as well. We conclude with that in the Gospels. We conclude with Resurrection Sunday. Read through the ascension of the Lord in Acts 1, and here we are in Acts 2 already. It's Pentecost. It's this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Just by way of the calendar, just by way of the events of Scripture, from last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we make our way to Pentecost Sunday, just a few Sundays from today. Our celebration of an empty tomb leads then to our celebration of an outpouring of God's Spirit. Just by way of that, it's a good time for us to do what we do and consider Him this third person of the Godhead, this third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. But for real this morning, full disclosure, today and for the weeks to come, it's not about the calendar. Not really even at all. I sense it in my heart. Listen to me this morning, New Life. I sense it in my heart, I really do, that these next few weeks is about us opening our hearts, opening our lives afresh and anew to a fresh and a new work of the Spirit in us. And listen to me, I need that. Listen to your pastor this morning. We need that. Listen to me, dear brother. Dear sister, whether you know it or not, you need that. For sure you do. I do. We do. At some point in time between his resurrection and his ascension, maybe even on the Sunday after his exit from the tomb, maybe this Sunday, a Sunday just like this one, in Acts 1 and verse 4, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I sense it's the reason for today, for the weeks to come. I believe it with all my heart, and I invite you this morning to believe it with me, that the Lord's instruction then is His instruction for us today. Really, then, it's what we do today. It's what we do over these next few weeks. We do just like the disciples did, in accordance even to His command to us, as it were. We wait for the gift the Father has promised. We wait until the Holy Spirit comes on us, baptizes us, fills us, clothes us with power from on high. Can you believe that with me? Listen, Jesus told His disciples then to wait, and they did. And they received the gift of the Father. They did. They spoke in other tongues. There were signs and wonders to confirm their preaching of the word. There were daily those being added to the church in response to their preaching and in response to the miracles being done by them and through them. Jesus said, wait. They did. They were clothed with heavenly, with divine power, and ultimately they turned the world upside down. Jesus tells us today, listen to me, I believe Jesus tells us today to wait. Can you believe it with me? That if He has, and if we will, all that the disciples experienced, all that they did, all that was done through them, it will be the same for us. Can you believe it? What happened in the upper room would happen here. Can you believe it? The preaching of the word in power, signs and wonders confirming the word, the supernatural growth. Oh, new life. Can you believe it? Can you believe it with me? What happened there and then for them would happen here and now for us, among us. And I invite you to make it your prayer for you, for this church and this church family. Holy Spirit, today, for the weeks to come, have your way in me. Holy Spirit, have your way in my brother. Have your way in my sister. Do what you want to do in them. What only you can do in them. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Oh, would you make it your prayer? Holy Spirit, have your way among us. Have your way in this church. Holy Spirit, have your way in new life. Can I encourage you? That you would be sensitive today and for the weeks to come to what the Spirit says to you. What the Spirit begins to prompt in you. What the Spirit wants to do. What the Spirit begins to do in you. Can I challenge you? Would you let down the walls? Would you open wide the gates of your life that the Spirit of the Lord may come in? Would you let Him work without restraint? Would you not limit Him? Isn't that what we can do? Holy Spirit, if this is your work, go ahead. But if it's anything more than this, I just don't think I need you to do that in me just yet. I just don't think I'm ready for that yet. I'm just not sure how I feel about that yet. So, Holy Spirit, this here, yes. That there, no. Can I encourage you? Rather than that, how about this? How about a whatever kind of heart and attitude? Holy Spirit, whatever. Whatever you want to do in me, whatever. Here I am, do it. Whatever you're wanting to change in me, whatever you're wanting to fix in me, whatever. Holy Spirit, do it without restraint, without limitation, whatever. Whatever you're wanting to speak to me, whatever the message, whatever the call, whatever the conviction, whatever the work, Holy Spirit, here I am. Whatever it is, do it. How about not just whatever, but as well, wherever. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to lead me, wherever you want to send me, Holy Spirit, without restraint, without limitation, here I am. Whatever, wherever, here I am. Do it. Have your way in me. Do what you want to do. Do what only you can do. Do your work. Do a Pentecost work. Do a clothed with power from on high work in me as I wait on you, the gift from the Father. The words of the song say it this way: Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Just for a moment this morning, would you bow your heads in your own way? Would you make that your prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Would you personalize it? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Would you commit? Would you ask the Lord to help you to commit? No limits, no restraints. Would you let the walls down? Would you open wide the gates of your life? I might not understand it all. I might not have all my questions answered about it all. But Holy Spirit, without limit, without restraint, would you work in me? Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. In this place, invite him just for a moment. Holy Spirit, melt me, mold me. Come on now, ask him. Holy Spirit, fill me, use me. Oh, Spirit of the living God, it's our prayer this morning that you fall fresh on us, that you fall fresh in this place. Jesus, we're asking you today, be our baptizer again. Oh, Father, we wait today for your gift, the gift that endues us with power from on high. Jesus, would you help us that no matter the work of the Spirit in us, no matter even this moment, not knowing what the Spirit might do, what the Spirit wants to do, what he might prompt in us, not even knowing where the Spirit might lead, Jesus, would you help us this morning to say yes? Oh, Jesus, we say yes today to the Holy Spirit. We don't even know what he says yet. We don't even know what he wants to do yet. But we say yes to his work in us. Oh, Spirit of the living God, ask him now. Fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on us. Come on, church. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on new life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In John 16, we read this in verse 14. He, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that being Jesus. Just those four simple words for us to consider this morning. This, the work that the Spirit would desire to do in us today. This, the work that we would let him do in us today. He will glorify Jesus. By definition, to glorify is to make glorious, to represent as glorious. That's being worthy of fame, worthy of admiration. That's having a striking beauty or splendor that evokes feelings of delighted wonder and awe. That's what the Spirit does. He points to Jesus. He reveals to you and to me Jesus as the glorious one, the one worthy of fame and worthy of admiration, the one worthy of honor and praise and worship. He points to Jesus. He reveals to us Jesus as the beautiful one, evoking then within us feelings of delighted awe and wonder in response to Jesus and who he is. To glorify is to light up brilliantly. It's to magnify. Listen, this is the very specific and very clearly stated work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. He draws our attention to Jesus. He centers our attention on Jesus. He represents Jesus as he is, glorious. He makes Jesus shine, if you will. He puts the spotlight on Jesus so that all else fades away in the shadows, and all then that remains and all then that we see is Jesus. He magnifies Jesus. He makes Jesus bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. He glorifies Jesus. Some people get uncomfortable when there's talk about the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those, the some people that get uncomfortable. Mostly they're uncomfortable because they think of the demonstration of the Spirit. Oh no, if pastor starts preaching on the Spirit, that means we're all going to have to start shouting, dancing in the aisles and at the altars. And I'm not a shouter, definitely not a dancer. Pentecostals, old school talk, they're the holy rollers. Oh no, pastor's going to preach on the Spirit. If I go all in, I'm going to have to start holy rolling and Jericho marching and hanky waving. And I'd prefer just to stay right here in my pew. Thank you very much. Some get uncomfortable because of the unfortunate abuse, the unfortunate misrepresentation of the Spirit. Something not of the Spirit was done, but the Spirit was blamed for it. Some get uncomfortable because the Spirit-filled people they've encountered and they've dealt with weren't much different than the worldly and wicked people they've dealt with. Listen, you have to hear me this morning. Listen, you can't let who you are or who you aren't, you can't let what you're comfortable with or not comfortable with, you can't let that make you to negate and or ignore God's word. You maybe know this of Thomas Jefferson. He didn't believe in miracles. In our context this morning, can I say it this way? That's not who he was. That's not what he was comfortable with. Maybe he saw too much the abuse of miracle preaching and miracle ministry. Maybe Christians who believed in miracles had treated him badly. He didn't believe. He didn't believe the miraculous. He didn't believe miracles could happen. So you know the story, right? He took the Bible and redacted from it all the miracle stories. How dare he, right? How dare you? Because you're not comfortable? Because all your questions haven't been answered? because that's not who you are. That's not what you're comfortable with. And though maybe you don't do it like Jefferson did, you have redacted from the Bible everything that is told to us of the Spirit, His person, His work, His ministry. Listen, you have to hear me this morning. People have gotten it wrong. People have done it wrong. It's true. They have. We have. People, Christians, even the Spirit-filled ones aren't perfect. They can talk wrong and do wrong to you. They shouldn't, but they can. I have. You have too. Listen, again, you can't let what others have done, even the wrong they've done, you can't let that make you to negate and or ignore God's word. And listen to God's word this morning. The Holy Spirit, even before the shouting and dancing and holy rolling, Jericho marching, hanky waving, even before the speaking in tongues, even before the prophetic word, even before the wisdom, even before the discernment, even before the miracles and the demonstration of power, listen to God's word this morning, the Holy Spirit, He glorifies Jesus in you and in me. He glorifies Jesus in this place. This is what He does. Can I take you back to where we began? No wonder the invitation to ask the Spirit to have His way in you and me. Because that's to ask Him to glorify Jesus in you and in me. No wonder the encouragement, no wonder the challenge, walls down, gates of your life wide open for Him without restraint and without limit, letting Him work in you. Holy Spirit, whatever it is, here I am. Do it in me. Do you understand? Without limit, without restraint, then He will glorify Jesus in you. Can I say it again? Without limit. Without restraint, because it's what He does, He will glorify Jesus in you. Your life wide open, the Holy Spirit will let the Lord of glory come in, and your life be flooded then with the awe and the wonder of who He is. No wonder we wait on Him, the gift of the Father, who glorifies the Son. Oh, don't you want Jesus glorified in you today? Listen, come on, New Life. Don't you want that? Don't you know it's that we need above all else? Jesus to be glorified in this place. Listen, this is why you pray. This is why you ask Jesus to be your baptizer again. This is why you ask God for Pentecost again. This is why, though He tarry, yet you wait for Him. This is why you avail and endear yourself to the person and to the work of the Holy Spirit, because He will glorify Jesus in you, among us, and He will glorify Jesus in this place. One says this, the Holy Spirit comes to extol, praise, and magnify Jesus. That is first and foremost His fingerprint. And He concludes, listen now, if Jesus wasn't glorified, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. He, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that being Jesus. Everything about the Spirit is really about Jesus. It's what He does. It's who He glorifies. And so then, as we avail ourselves to his work in us, it'll be all about Jesus. It'll be all about Jesus for us. It'll be all about us loving Jesus. In Luke 14 and verse 26, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Do you understand that? To rightly belong to him, to rightly serve him, to be in right relationship with him, your love for him must be to this degree that your love for any other one and or any other thing actually looks like hate when compared to your love for Jesus. It's anyone taking anything of your life, people you love, things you love to do, any of it, and putting that, whatever it is, next to Jesus, and them then left only with this response, wow, you must hate that compared to how much you love him. Maybe it's the thing that interests you. I love the hunting. I love the fishing. I love the reading. I love the walking. I love the exercise, whatever it is. And somebody steps into your life. Let me see your love for Jesus and that love for that thing. And all of a sudden, they see your love for Jesus and it's way up here. And comparatively, your love for that thing that you would say you love is way down here. And it leaves them saying, I thought you said you loved that thing. But compared to Jesus, it looks like you hate it. Anything. Anything that occupies your time, anything that occupies your attention, the sports, the TV, the entertainment, the family, the friends, the social life, the job, whatever it is. Wow, I love that. But then that put next to Jesus and your love for him up here, your love for that way down here. You say you love that. You say you enjoy that. But really, it looks like you hate it compared to your love for Jesus. How much you love him. How about it? Can people say that of you with anything, with everything in your life? Can people say that about you in relationship to your family, work, the job? Can people say that about you in regard to the thing you do, the thing you enjoy doing? Anyone steps into your life, let me see. Let me compare the two. Do they see the stark contrast? Or do they see barely a difference between your love for him and your love for that thing, whatever that thing is? Do you understand the call to that kind of love? How is it even possible? The greatest of all commands of Scripture, really the fulfillment of Scripture, the one thing that sums it all up, all the law and all the prophets. Listen now, love God. Oh, but you know it's way more than that. Listen, you have to love him with all your heart, all of it. And if that weren't impossible enough, you have to love him with all your heart and with all your soul and still more, with all your mind and with all your strength. If you want to simply obey the one command that sums up and fulfills all the rest, you have to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. You have to love God with all that you are. How can you possibly? Well, the truth, full disclosure, you can't. Oh, but the Spirit. Listen now, who is all about Jesus can make you to be all about Jesus, so that with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, with all you are, you do love Him. As we avail ourselves to the Spirit's work in our lives, it'll be all about Jesus, all about worshiping Jesus. It is true. We do worship Jesus in part because of what He's done. But ultimately, listen to me this morning, ultimately, we worship Jesus because of who He is. If you're inclined to think that Jesus hasn't done much for you lately, if your life is consumed by what you still need Him to do for you now, you may struggle in worshiping Him. And this then, what you may be inclined to say, all that's going on, where I'm at, what I'm going through, the day I've had, the week I've had, what I need the Lord to do for me, the problem, the difficulty, the sickness, this might be what you're inclined to say. I just don't feel like worshiping Him. You know what you need then? You need the work of the Spirit glorifying Jesus in you. You need the Holy Spirit giving you a fresh glimpse of His glory. You need the Holy Spirit shining the spotlight on Jesus for you so you can see Him clearly in all of His glory, in all of His awe and wonder and splendor. You need the Holy Spirit pointing you to Jesus, revealing Him to you as the glorious one, worthy of fame and admiration, worthy of honor, worthy of praise, worthy of worship. You need the Holy Spirit lifting up Jesus in you so that you can see, no matter what He's done or not done lately, no matter what you need Him still to do, oh, He's worthy. Whether you feel like it or don't, on a Sunday morning or a Monday afternoon, it doesn't matter. Listen, He's worthy of your worship. If you sense the need, if you feel the longing within you to worship Him more, to worship Him better, to live your life a living sacrifice in worship to Jesus, listen, you need then the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on you, to draw you, to lead you in worshiping Jesus like you never have before. It'll be all about us obeying Jesus. It'll be all about us looking like Jesus. In Galatians, it's the Spirit that helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. So like Jesus, we can live in love and joy, peace and patience. We can be kind, good, faithful, and gentle. We can live in self-control. Because what the Spirit does is always and only point you to and toward Jesus. Listen, you stay in step with the Spirit then, and you'll always walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Oh, don't you want to be like Him? Don't you sense it, the real call, the real mandate of your Christianity, to be like Jesus? What you need is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, so once again you can make certain to live your life in the Spirit, full of the Spirit, staying in step with the Spirit, so that you can be walking, running rather, chasing after Jesus, going only where He goes, doing only the thing that He does, as you follow hard after Him. As we avail ourselves to the Spirit's work in our lives will be all about prioritizing Jesus. We put Him first. Can I ask you, is He first? Is there no question, no doubt as to Him being first in your life? If no, what you need is the work of the Spirit in you, The Spirit will glorify Him so that you will be all about Him. You will put Him first. You will put and you will seek His kingdom first. Listen, isn't it true? Don't you sense always the battle to keep Him first? Always something trying to become first in our lives in His place. Just by way of a few of those things that would give evidence to His place in our life, your devotions, Bible reading and prayer. Don't you know the battle, even every day, to do that? Quality time devoted to not just reading, but studying God's Word. Quality time devoted to prayer, to real communion with God. I understand it's not the only thing, but if Him first is a consistent, a constant, a daily and dynamic devotional time, don't you know the battle then to keep Him first? The battle to have that. Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night prayer, Wednesday. Why is it that our family seems to only ever want to do things on a Sunday? Why is it that everything goes wrong on a Wednesday? Again, it's not the only thing, but if Him first is your commitment to be here, don't you know the battle then to keep Him first, the battle that ensues just to get yourself here? Think of it by way of ministry. Your calendar can be totally empty. Let the church schedule a ministry event, though, and all of a sudden, the day of that, the week of that, you'll have 1,000 things on your calendar. Do you understand? Do you understand why we need the Spirit ever at work in us, ensuring and securing Jesus' first place in our lives? He's all about Jesus. He makes us to be all about Jesus, prioritizing Jesus. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20, Samuel said to the people, "Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing." The Spirit helps us to see Jesus, helps us to focus on Jesus. The Spirit puts the spotlight on Jesus and helps us then to prioritize Him as we so clearly come to understand all else compared to Him is nothing. You know it's true, right? All else compared to Him, empty, worthless, cannot profit or deliver. Prioritizing Jesus. Pursuing Jesus, serving Jesus, surrender to Jesus, because the Spirit is all about Jesus. This is the work He does in us. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price." Because He's all about Jesus, the Spirit will remind you of the price that Jesus paid for you, that you might belong to Him. Now you live your life surrendered to Him, all to Him, all to Him you freely give. One says it this way: hold loosely to the things of this life, so that if God requires them of you, it will be easy to let them go. All to Jesus we surrender. Humbly at His feet we bow. Worldly pleasures, all of them forsaken, we let Jesus have us. We let Jesus take us. All of us, all to Him we surrender, so that He can make us wholly His. As we avail ourselves to the Spirit's work in our lives, Our lives will be devoted and dedicated to Jesus, sold out to Jesus. In Mark 14, Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically. "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. In verse 46, a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs grabbed Jesus and arrested him. And in verse 50, then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. There's then the cross, and there is then the empty tomb. But ultimately, there's this. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the one who glorifies Jesus and enables them to live their lives surrendered, sold out, devoted, and dedicated to Him. And though their story could have ended with desertion because of the Spirit, it ends like this, at least according to church history. Bartholomew, in most depictions of him, he is represented with a large knife, skin hanging over his arm. That's because, according to tradition, he was flayed alive and then crucified upside down. Philip, he preached the gospel throughout modern-day Greece and Turkey until his death, stripped naked, hung upside down by his feet, sharp stakes driven into his ankles and thighs so that he slowly bled to death. James, according to tradition, he was sentenced to death by Herod. He was about to be beheaded. The Roman soldier that was to lead him to his execution was so impressed with his courage and constancy of spirit, he begged James for forgiveness for his harsh treatment of him. And James, the zealous one, the one who had at one time wanted to call down fire from heaven on an entire Samaritan village, James lifts the man up, embraces him, kisses him, and said to him, "Peace, my son, peace to you and the pardon of your faults." Tradition says the soldier is so moved by James' compassion that he publicly confessed Christ and was beheaded alongside James. Peter was crucified. Before his own death, it's said that he was forced to watch the crucifixion of his own wife. Early church father Eusebius writes that Peter stood at the foot of his wife's cross and kept repeating to her, "Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord." After she has died, it's said that when they came to crucify him, Peter pleaded that they crucify him upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. Andrew, tradition says he was preaching in a province and he led the governor's wife to Christ. The governor was furious, demanded that his wife recant of her faith. She would not. And so he had Andrew crucified on an X-shaped cross. It is said that Andrew hung on that cross for 2 days. And it's said of him that for those 2 days, Andrew preached the gospel to everyone that passed by, from deserting him to dying for him. That's the glorifying Jesus, surrendered, sold out, devoted, and dedicated to Jesus' work that the Holy Spirit did in them and that the Holy Spirit would do in us. Listen, lack courage to stand up for him, lack courage to share your faith with others. Lack courage to engage the devil and destroy his work wherever you see it, whenever you encounter it. Listen, what you need, listen to me, church. What the church today needs today, what New Life needs, what you and I need today, a fresh and anew, the Spirit at work in us. Listen, we've been too quiet. I'm just going to tell you the way it is this morning. You've been too quiet. I've been too quiet. You've sat too much for too long on the sidelines. You've conceded too much ground to the enemy. You have. I have. We have. The Church of Jesus Christ has. We've been too often the deserters in the face of confrontation and in the face of adversity. We need the Spirit to come change us. We need Him to come and glorify Jesus again in us so that we can live our lives sold out to Him no matter the cost. Willing to die for Him before we'd ever even begin to think of deserting Him. As we give ourselves, as we let again the Spirit work in us, our lives will be consumed with and consumed by Jesus. It was the words of John the Baptist, He must increase, I must decrease. Listen, this is the all about Jesus work that the Spirit does in us. He makes Jesus to be magnified. He makes Jesus to be increased in us. He makes Jesus to become more and more, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. We decrease. We become less. This world, the things of it, decrease and become less. So this is the magnifying Jesus work that the Spirit does. He makes us more and more uncomfortable with the things of this world until ultimately He begins to push more and more of the things of this world out of our lives so that there's more and more room in us for Jesus. Listen, some of us, it's just the truth. There's too much of the world taking up too much space in our lives. Too much of anything and everything. Except Jesus. Listen to me this morning. If you want Jesus to come in, the sin has to be pushed out. If you want Jesus to come in, there might be even more than just sin that has to be pushed out. And it's the work of the Spirit glorifying Jesus in you that'll make you hate that sin that occupies the place Jesus could have in you. It'll make you hate this world and the things of it, always trying to take up that space that Jesus could and would have in you. Do you understand? Listen. Oh, how we need the Spirit at work in our lives. Making Jesus to shine. Putting the spotlight on Jesus so all else fades away in the shadows. And all then that remains. And all then that we see. And all then that we want taking up space in our lives is Jesus. It's what the Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus. And as He does that in us, we live our lives trusting Jesus, our confidence in Jesus. These are the words of David when confronting Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. Trusting Jesus, confident in Jesus, our hope in Jesus. Listen, we won't just quote it, we'll live in the reality and the power of it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. trusting Jesus, celebrating Jesus, celebrating his love for us, celebrating his sacrifice for us. In Psalm 49 and verse 7, we read this: no man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. Listen, our reason for rejoicing, no matter your life story right now, listen to me, you have reason to rejoice. You have reason to celebrate. The price was high, oh, but the ransom was paid. And now in him, because of him, you'll never see decay. In him, because of him, yours is the victory over death, hell in the grave. In Luke 10 and verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replies, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Is your name written there? Is your name written down in glory this morning? Listen, you have reason to rejoice. You have reason to celebrate today. You celebrate him. As the Spirit has given place to work in us, our lives will be all about Jesus, all about proclaiming Jesus. Filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the 120, they don't stay in the upper room. The 120 on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their midst, they don't just have a good church service. Peter steps from that room and preaches Jesus to the crowd gathered. Listen, you have to hear me this morning. If you come in here, and we have a great service, a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-anointed service, but it doesn't translate into you going out there and proclaiming Jesus, hear me this morning, then something's wrong. Either we didn't really have a good service. Maybe there was a lot of hype. Maybe there was a lot of emotion. Sure felt good. The music just right, the story's just perfect, the message just good. Maybe there was all that, but don't you know there's a difference between that and when the Spirit shows up in his anointing and in his power, oh, new life. Surely it must be true for us. What we want is not just the hype, not just the emotion, not just another good service, not just the right set of songs, not just a bunch of well put together words from some man. No, no way. What we want, what we need, is the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us in his anointing and in his power. Listen, if there's a lot of the emotion and there's a lot of the Spirit, that's great. I believe it. I just do. I don't think we need to be afraid of the emotion. Don't be afraid to come and weep at the altar. Don't be afraid to lift your hands and clap your hands in celebration of Jesus. Don't be afraid to shout. Watch out now. Don't even be afraid of the holy rolling, Jericho marching, hanky waving. It's okay. It really is. But what we need, what we really want, is the Spirit. And if the Spirit comes with that, well, great. But if it's just that, it's just the hype, we're better off with something else. We're better off with him. If with the Spirit, there's great singing and great stories and great preaching, great. What we need, what we want, though, is the Spirit above any and everything else, before any of the rest, above all the rest. And what we discover is, if the Holy Spirit shows up, not only is it going to be good in here, and let me tell you, oh, it's going to be good in here. Listen, the Holy Spirit begins to move in this place in power. You sense His presence. You let Him work without limit and without restraint in you. You meet with Him at this altar. Listen, you'll leave without a doubt saying, wow, that was a great service. But that's not all. If the Spirit shows up, if it was more than just hype and emotion, it was more than everything being just right and all of it feeling so good, if it was more than that, if He was here, truly here and at work in us and among us, then not only will we enjoy it in here, we'll go out there and proclaim Him. We'll go out there and proclaim Jesus to all we meet. If we don't do that, either we didn't really have the Spirit in here like we thought we did, or we did it wrong. We've understood wrong. We've responded wrong. We've missed a key component of what the Spirit does. We thought the Spirit shows up so we can have a good time. We thought the Spirit shows up so we can feel good. But that's not why the Spirit shows up. Listen, I don't say it to sound rude or mean. The Spirit doesn't come for you. He comes to glorify Jesus. That's what He does. He comes then so that as He glorifies Jesus in us, in here, we go out there and we proclaim the Jesus that has been glorified in us, in here. He, that being the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, that being Jesus. One says, when the Holy Spirit is present, your sin will be exposed, the truth will be explained, and your heart will be enamored with Jesus. Don't you want more of Jesus? Don't you sense it? No matter where you're at this morning, what you really need is more of Jesus. Don't you want to see Him? Don't you want to see Him better? Don't you want to see Him more clearly? Don't you want a fresh glimpse again of His glory? One writes, as we see Jesus more clearly, His gospel gets bigger in our hearts. His death becomes more wonderful. His resurrection becomes more astonishing. Sin becomes more disgusting. And the devil seems more evil. The restoring work of the Spirit gets mightier. The global extent of the gospel becomes more important. Our yearning for eternity becomes greater. And the love of God becomes more delightful. Oh, don't you want that? Don't you want Jesus? Don't you want more of Him? Don't you want to love Him more and better? Don't you want to look like Him? Don't you want to obey Him? Surrender to Him. Serve Him with wholehearted, uncompromising devotion and dedication. Don't you want your life consumed with Jesus? Don't you want to tell others about Him? Oh, don't you want Jesus? Listen. So then we long for the Spirit's work in us. We pray for it. We wait for it. We wait for Him, the gift of the Father that glorifies the Son. Lord, so this morning we wait. We gather in this upper room place, as it were, and we pray. We ask for the gift of the Father. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Come and fill our lives. Glorify Jesus in us. Heads bowed and eyes closed all across this room. Would you just take a minute and let the Holy Spirit do that in you? Would you just take a minute and pray that? Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in me. Let him speak to you. That's what we gave him permission to do at the outset of the service. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, begin to prompt in me. What's he prompting in you this morning? Maybe your love for the Lord. Maybe compared to other things. The other things, it doesn't look like you hate those things. It looks like you love those things. It looks like you love them even more than Jesus sometimes. Is that what the Spirit is saying? Maybe there's no proclaiming of Jesus. A great time in here is kept to yourself, and the Spirit is prompting you. Oh, but I want to send you out to be salt and light to your family, to your neighbor, in your work, to your community. What's the Spirit saying to you? Remember, without limit, without restraint, we don't put the walls up. Holy Spirit, if you're wanting me to love Jesus more, I'm in. But if you're telling me to proclaim Jesus more, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Remember, no, no, no. That's not what we do. Rather, without limit, without restraint, whatever he says to us. What does he say to you this morning? Is your life not consumed with Jesus? Are you not obeying him? Is that the prompting of the Spirit in you? Is that what the Spirit would speak to you about this morning? For just a moment, would you give him time to speak? Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Change us. Help us. Glorify Jesus in us. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us so that Jesus might be more and more, better and better glorified in us. Personalize that so that Jesus might be more and more, better and better glorified in me. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Jesus, as we set our hearts, minds, our focus, our attention on the work of your Holy Spirit in us and among us this morning, that he would glorify you. So we pray for that. We ask for the gift of the Father. We pray for Pentecost again. We pray that we might be endued with power from on high. Holy Spirit power. Jesus, ultimately to this end, that you might be glorified in us. As an act of volunteering, as it were, would you lift your hand to heaven? Would you say it? Jesus, be glorified in me. Here, I volunteer. Here's my hand. My hand's up, Jesus. You're looking for someone to be glorified in. Here I am. Be glorified in me. Just before we dismiss, would every single one in this place, would you lift your hand? Jesus, be glorified in this church. Be glorified in this place. You see it corporately together. Our hands lifted as a church. Here we are. Jesus, you're looking for a church to be glorified in. Here we are. You see our hands. Our hands are lifted. Pick us. Choose us. Be glorified in this place. We ask for the gift of the Father. Jesus, we pray, be our baptizer again. Oh, let the Holy Spirit fall fresh on us. In Jesus' name, I pray that today and this week to come, your mind is set on this. Oh, how we want the Spirit to be at work in us so that Jesus can be glorified in us. I pray it for you today, for today, and for the week to come. Oh, may Jesus somehow, some way, be glorified in you. And I pray his blessing over you. Would you stand? Would you lift your hands to heaven to receive his blessing? I pray it. I declare it over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.